and we are very excited about this morning. We've been talking a little bit about our special guest. We have a guest who's come in. He's flown in not just from Texas, but before being in Texas, he's actually from Sydney, Australia. And so we have with us not only someone who's from the United States, who's actually from Australia, but who's traveled the world, and he travels all around the world telling people about the God that he loves and the Jesus that saved him. His name is Frank Butler, and Frank was a rock and roll musician. He opened for bands such as AC/DC, Deep Purple, Queen. Who else am I missing here? A few other good bands. And he informed me this morning that he was Hillsong Church. You know Hillsong in Sydney? You heard of them? They got a few people that go to that church, I think, right? They were a little bit smaller at the time, but Frank was their first worship leader when they were about 25 people. So they've grown a bit since then. And so we're excited to have Frank with us. And, you know, Frank is an evangelist, and he may mention a little bit about that today. The pastor works in conjunction and partnership with the evangelist, and so I'm excited to have him here with us this morning. And so can we give a good Niagara Worship Center welcome to Frank Butler?
I'd like to thank you all for coming, and we'll see you next Sunday. Oh, that's it. And I shaved this morning. One thing leads to another. Take his message, feel it in your heart. Tell everyone this is for real. You've lived a lie too long. One road leads to another. Take my hand, let's walk this road together. He gave his life so we might live. We've lived to die too long. Yes, he was. Yes, he is. Yes, he lives. Lives in the hearts of his children. He was. Yes, he is. Yes, he lives. Children, he was, yes, he is, yes, he lives, yes, he was, yes, he is, yes, he lives, lives in the hearts of his children, he was, yes, he is, yes, he lives. Thank you.
So they got it. Maybe you smoke a pipe, a cigar or cigarette. This song is written specially for you if you haven't stopped smoking yet. If God made you to smoke, you'd have a chimney in your head. You might think it's a joke, but you won't after you're dead. Brown fingers, yellow teeth, and bloodshot eyes. You burn all your money, when will you realize? If God made you to smoke, you'd have a chimney in your head. You might think it's a joke, but you won't after you're dead. Lung cancer, heart disease, what a price to pay. You burn all your money while you smoke your life away. Self-esteem. Sing it with me. If God made you to smoke, if you're embarrassed, close your eyes. No one will see it. You might think it's a joke, but you won't after you're dead. I will praise him. Thanks, hope. Faith. I call the hope. It's faith. I will praise you. Let's stand together, worship the Lord. If you really love Jesus, you can lift your hands real high. Cards with praise. I will offer up the sacrifice of praise. For you are worthy to be praised. Oh, he's worthy, folks. Gates with thanksgiving. I will enter your courts with praise. I will offer up. I will offer up the sacrifice of praise. For you are worthy to be praised. I will praise you. I will praise you, O Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. I will praise you, O Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. For you are worthy to be praised. Give him a shout of praise. Come on.
I'll use this one. Yeah. You may be seated. Amen. You're singing good. The Bible says the righteous sing and rejoice. Jesus sang a hymn before he was taken away to be crucified. And there's power in music. Amen. Hallelujah. Why should the devil have all the good music? Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 9. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'm going to come down there because I don't want to fall off here and break my neck. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to find out more about me, and who wouldn't, go to my website, frankbutler.org. Everybody say, the butler did it. And this is year 39. This is my 39th year. And I'm getting better at it. Now, next month, October, Pastor mentioned October, write down October the 19th. That's my birthday. I like large, expensive gifts. Okay, Rolex, you know, a couple of Rolexes, widescreen TV, new car, just small gifts, you know. But no, it's glory to God. A year closer to Jesus. As the years go by, our times are in His hand. Every heartbeat, every breath is in His hands. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Tim for inviting me to come. He's a good man. There's not many of us left. I'm not going to give him all the credit. He's not going to get all the credit. No, I got to include myself. Let's have a look here. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. And when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Amen. And she went and told those that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. Sounds like the modern church. And then it says, when they heard that Jesus was alive, it says, and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. That's today's church. We just don't believe. A lot of churches, you got a church on every corner in Canada, they don't believe in healing. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in prosperity. that don't believe that God could speak to you and help you as you travel down life's road, what's the point of believing in a God who can't help you now? We don't need Jesus 2,000 years ago. We weren't alive then. We're not going to need him when we die, because the Bible says when we see him, we'll be changed to be like him. We need him now, 24/7. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And another time he said, I'm with you always. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what life brings. We all had our battles and our trials. Jesus is faithful. Even when he comes back, it's going to be written on his clothing, faithful and true. Amen. And look at verse 12. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. And they went and told the rest, but they did not believe them either. You know, some people are never going to believe. And God demands that we have faith. Everybody here, front row to back row, the Bible says God has given to everyone a measure of faith. Even the atheist who says there is no God, he uses or she uses their God-given faith to say there is no God. You see, faith means belief without proof. It means you're confident of what you hope for, convinced of what you do not see. Your greatest possession is not your family. It's not your country. It's not your job. It's not all the stuff you own. It's not your church. Your greatest possession is your personal faith in Jesus Christ, his promises, and his miracle work and power. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to get you through this life and out into eternity. You know, Peter said, we are kept by the power of God. We are preserved, kept by the power of God. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. And it says of Abraham, Abraham was fully persuaded what God promised, God would also do. It says Abraham believed God. That's the New Testament word for faith. The word faith is, and all its endings is in the New Testament about 250 times. So I think the Lord's trying to tell us all something. See, God demands that you have faith. He didn't suggest it. He didn't say, oh, if you feel like it. Didn't recommend it. He demands it. Jesus said, have faith in God. Jesus said, believe in God. Believe also in me. And you know people by their faith. And it says Abraham believed God, who was faithful to do what he promised to do. Abraham said he believed. It says of Abraham, he believed God, who calls the things that are not there as though they are. Amen. See, that's what faith does. It makes the impossible possible. Makes the unseen seen. The unbelievable believable. Amen. The invisible visible. See, our faith pierces the visible realm, touches the living God, and miracles come into this realm. Amen. And that's why that faith is going to help you in every area of your life. And it says in verse 14, after Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Numerous times he told them, I'm coming back. I'm coming back from the grave. But they did not believe him. You know, there's a lot of you read the Bible when you first become a Christian, you think, oh, they were great, wonderful people. Then you read Noah was a drunk. Abraham was a liar. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses was a murderer. Aaron was a fruitcake. Just went whichever way the wind blows. Samson was a womanizer. David was an adulterer, a murderer, and a womanizer. And you got all these crazy disciples in the New Testament. There's hope for us. There's hope for us. Amen. I call them the 12 pests. They drove Jesus crazy. The kids came over and they said, get the kids out. Jesus said, let the kids come. Another time they said, bring fire down from heaven to destroy them. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit I'm of. Another time, a woman pushes through the crowd to get healing. She bled for 12 years, and she touched Jesus. Jesus says, somebody touch me. He knew by faith. He had people all around him, the crowd, but he knew somebody touched him by faith. And the 12 pests said, what are you talking about? There's people all around you. And then another time, there's a woman. She cried out to Jesus on behalf of her daughter, who was at home filled with evil spirits. And the disciple says, send her away. She cries after us. You go and read it. She wasn't crying after them. She's crying after Jesus. And now he comes back from the dead, and they don't believe it. So you got to have faith, folks. You got to have faith. Amen. How do you get faith? Faith comes two ways. It should be as you grow as a Christian. It should be a fruit, should naturally increase as you walk with Jesus Christ. The other way it comes is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. That's what it is. Hallelujah. And unbelief is identified by the following. Say it after me. Doubt, unfaithfulness, skepticism, uncertainty, and wavering. The Bible says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the person who wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that person expect to receive anything from God. You know, it must be hard being God sometimes. Do you want it? You don't want it. Do you want it? You don't want it. And where, you know, one day you feel faith, next day it's unbelief and fear. Next day it's unwavering. Next day you got faith. God's sitting up there. Well, hang on, come on. The Bible says they were established in the faith. The Bible says stand in the faith. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, unbelief and faith both originate in the heart. We just saw it here. Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Well, Paul said in the book of Romans, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that is preached. Amen. So faith starts in the heart. So does unbelief. That's why you got to be careful what you watch on Hellivision. Everybody say Hellivision. You got to be careful what movies you watch. Hollywood movies. Everybody say Hollywood movies. Folks, I tell you what, I can't remember the time they made a good movie. It's rubbish. Even one of their top producers, Martin Scorsese, he's been around Hollywood for years. He's made top movies, and he makes all devil-type movies. But anyway, he said a few months ago, he said, Hollywood is finished. You know why? Yeah, praise God, exactly. You know why? Because then every second movie has mechanical creatures in it or superheroes. Batman, Pigman, Fat Man, Skunk Man, Little Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, whatever, Doggy Man, Elephant Man, whatever it is. And then you got, he said, you've got all these movies with mechanical robots and things, right? And he said, the other thing you got are stupid, mindless comedies where they think it's funny to cuss and have all sexual things in it. He lives in Hollywood, for crying out loud. He's in the midst of it. He said it's finished. They're no longer making movies about history or wholesome movies or whatever. And the movie tickets, I see it on the news, I look online, the movie ticket sales have tanked. This year has been the worst in movie history. And then you turn on the stupid Hellivision, all those stupid reality shows. Give me a break. You want to turn that rubbish off? You don't want all that filth to come into your mind and into your heart? You want to stay in the presence of God. Amen? We are to be holy, pure, clean, spotless, righteous, and undefiled. Give the Lord a victory shout. Come on. Amen. See, sin makes you dirty. Drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, smoking cigarettes makes you dirty, literally. That's why the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleans us from all sin. Oh, wonderful Jesus. The same blood that cleans you is the same blood that heals you. By His stripes we were healed. When you're sick and you get healed, first thing you want to do is have a shower or a bath. You want to feel clean again. Jesus came down from heaven to clean us up. To get all that filth and uncleanness out of our mind, out of our body, out of our spirit, out of our relationships. As He is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. Oh, blessed be God. Amen. Satan is the author of unbelief. Paul said, the God of this world blinds the minds of people who don't believe. Now, unlike you, I was not a sinner, ever. Just kidding. I used to have hair down to there and lots of it. I used to wear an earring. I used to wear gold boots up to there with a 4-inch heel with my name down the side. I was a rock and roll star on my way to hell. Did anybody see that promo photo? Anybody see that promo photo from the church? That was just taken a couple of weeks ago. First night I wore those stupid boots, I was p- performing in front of a couple of thousand people. I don't know you ladies wear those high heels. I see women, you know, every weekend I'm sitting in an airport, and next week I'll be in Michigan somewhere, and women wear super, super, super high heels, and they're walking down the jetway to get on the plane. You know, they're tripping, and they get their heels stuck. Ladies, if you fly, wear flatties. Amen. And I wore those stupid high heel boots and I was jumping around. I was high on drugs and I drank some alcohol and I slipped off a stage about twice that high and broke my ankle. So you reap what you wear. Thank God for Jesus. I used to cuss his name. It was a cuss word. And one day in Sydney, Australia, my car would not start. 4 million people in that city. So I hitched a ride. My appointment was 10 minutes away. And a car drives by, he reverses back. He was a businessman, he had a suit on. He said, where are you going? I said, up to the junction. He said, jump in. We drove off. He said, hey, my name's Jim, what's yours? I said, Frank. He said, I picked you up for a reason. He said, I want to tell you Jesus loves you. He said, I want to tell you Jesus answers prayers. He said, I want to tell you that he still works miracles today. And he has a plan for your life. I'm sitting there, you stupid Bible basher, you Jesus freak. Well, look who the Bible basher is now. As I'm getting out of his car, he wrote down his home address. He said, here, take this. This is on a Friday afternoon. And I put that card. I could have thrown it away. And 3 nights later, about 6 o'clock Sunday night, I thought, I'm going to go around, tell him Christianity is a dead, powerless, useless religion. I was into Eastern religions and all I knew, the Rolling Stones and the Who and the Kinks and Man from Man and who else? Led Zeppelin, a lot of those clowns. They need to get saved too. Some of them have been. Anyway, I went around there with my pride and arrogance and cursing and blasphemy. I knocked on the door, and Jim opened the door. Hey, Frank, good to see you. Come in. I went in. There's about 40 Christians there having a Bible study. I was outnumbered. So I sort of sat down. You know what I noticed first thing? I looked at their faces. Because when you're in the entertainment business, you're doing 50, 60,000 people, you look at the first few rows to see if the music's going over, you know, the people are enjoying it. And I looked at their faces. You know what the Bible says? A happy heart gives you a happy face. I didn't know that then. And I said to Jim, your face, it was like it was shining. People have told me while I'm preaching, my countenance changes. People have told me they've seen angels behind me. People have told me they've seen smoke. One pastor thought the church, I'm not making this up, was on fire. He ran around the back. He thought it was on fire. It was the presence of God came into the service. God's a miraculous God. Amen. And I was there for 4 hours in that house. I asked every question. And they just gave me the gospel. And right before I left, they said, Frank, would you like to ask Jesus into your life? Best decision I ever made. I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Make me the man you want me to be. He's been doing that all my life. He ain't finished with me yet. And a few weeks later, they told me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. And I got powerfully filled with the Holy Ghost. And I speak with other tongues. And I've never been the same since. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. And it's contagious. We had about 8 or 9 people filled with the Holy Spirit in the first service. Amen. Amen. Oh, look at verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world, that includes Canada, and preach the gospel. That's the good news to every person. Amen. I've traveled 3 million miles. I've probably seen millions of decisions for Christ. I've seen millions of people, or hundreds of thousands, healed. Amen. Let's have a quick look at the website. Amen. A miracle a day keeps the devil away. Some people say, oh, I don't believe in miracles. You will when you need one. Here's one. This is over in Warner Robins, Georgia. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, sleep apnea, asthma, arthritis. She had 4 things. Instantly healed. Set free from ADHD, depression, and 10 years of medication. That was a lady, I don't know what state that was in. Liver healed and transplant counseled over in Baltimore. She was on a liver transplant list. She's not anymore. She got off. Jesus healed it. Multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia healed. And I'm not going to read them all. Here's a wonderful miracle. This is down in Where was that one? Don't even know where that was. Delivered from antidepressant drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, suicide, healed in mind and body, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have a new job. I know where that was. Scranton, PA. That's right. And this lady, African-American lady sitting back there, she came out for prayer. She had all these evil spirits in it. I laid hands on her. She started to punch and kick and scream like a crazy person. I said, shut up and be still. She fell down under the power of God. I got down next to her. I told devil, you get out of there. The Holy Spirit came in. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, prayed with other tongues. Isn't that good? Oh, I can see you're so excited. Amen. And I was back there earlier this year, and I asked about her. She's down in Phoenix, just gone on with God. Here's a wonderful miracle. Out of bed after 8 years, eyesight, muscle cramps, back pain, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and depression healed, and hips miraculously replaced. She got all of that. One, she was blind, and she had to walk with two sticks and had people to hold her up. And on the Sunday morning, she got her eyesight back. And on the Monday night, she came out to tell me what had happened. I said, what happened? She had 5 spinal strokes when she was 28. So she's in bed for 8 years. And, well, you know, she had to need help when she had to move. And you could read all these later. Minot, North Dakota, fibromyalgia, eyesight healed, cancer healed. The big C, Christ, is greater than the little C, cancer. Give me a big shout of victory. Come on. Knees healed, diabetes healed, sleep apnea, autism healed, scoliosis of the spine. 14-year-old girl, and she had scoliosis of the spine, couldn't hardly do anything. It had come on her a year or so before. And we had a testimony time. She came up. I said, well, show us how much she got healed. And she had been a gymnast. So she did all this stuff across the front of the church, you know, jumping and twisting and doing all the stuff. And her dad was up doing the sound. He used to chew tobacco. And he got delivered from that as well. Good stuff. I've been into cancer wards where they got cancer of the tongue or the throat, and they got a tube in their throat smoking a cigarette. If you've got any addiction, pornography, drugs, any satanic things you're into, wrong things, you need to renounce them today. You need to put yourself under the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to go and see your pastor. Say, Pastor, confession exposes possession. Satan hates it when you tell. You don't want to go and tell him. You go to your pastor. He's a shepherd of the church. Say, Pastor, I had this addiction. And Jesus will set you free from it like that. I was in Flint, Michigan a few years ago, African-American church, and I stopped the altar call. I said, there's somebody here contemplating suicide. Every 14 minutes in America, somebody kills themselves. In the next hour, 4 people are going to go to hell. And no one came forward, so we started up the altar call again. 10 minutes later, the pastor's 16-year-old son walks out. He got into gangs, he got into drugs, he was now suicidal. You might get what you want, you may not want what you get. You don't mess with the devil. You take a rattlesnake or brown snake in Australia, they're as bad as rattlesnakes, they bite you, you're dead. You take a rattlesnake into bed with you, it's going to kill you. Sin shortens your life. So here's some of the wonderful testimonies there, and to God be the glory. Give me a big amen. Give me a better amen. Amen. And look what it says here, verse 15, go. And that's not just for Pastor and me. Give me a wave if you're a Christian. You are to go. Amen. And look down at verse 17, or verse 16. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. There's that faith again. You got to believe to get saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. I knew Freddie Mercury from Queen. Who's heard of the rock band Queen? Right before he died of AIDS, he was in his early 40s, he did an interview. You might be able to find it on YouTube. And he was skin on bone, horrible way to die. And he said a couple of things. He said, I've had relationships with men and women, and none of them worked. And then the man interviewing him said, where are you going to go when you die, heaven or hell? And if you know Freddie Mercury, he had that smirky smile. He said, I'm going to hell. There are more interesting people there. That's what he said. What you say is what you get. The Bible says the person who controls their tongue saves their life from trouble. Amen. Look at verse 17. And these signs, that word signs means miracles, will follow those who go to church every Sunday. Will follow those who are super spiritual. Though these miracles will follow them that, I can't hear you, I still can't hear you, believe. Those who have faith. And in my name, this power in the name of Jesus, sang about it this morning. I love it where it says, God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. His name is higher than any name in heaven, in earth, and the earth below. That's why people, you know, they don't hassle Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or people who follow Confucius, but Satan hates Christians. He hates the cross and scripture in public places. He hates preachers and he hates you. He hated you before you became a Christian. And now that you're a Christian, he wants to shorten your life and make you miserable and ineffective. That's why you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God 24/7. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. And look what it says. These signs will follow. Everybody say follow. 17 times in the Gospels, Jesus said, follow me. That is, imitate me. Amen. Blessed be God. Oh, I love that. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, not know me, but serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, what are the signs to follow? The first one here, look at it. These signs will follow them that believe, or these miracles will follow them that believe. Verse 17, they will cast out devils. Amen. We don't have to fear the devil. We ought to cast him out. Got to get the devil out of yourself before you get him out of someone else. Amen. You can't go to heaven if you got the devil in your life somewhere. Amen. And that's what the early church did. That's what they do in Africa. That's what they do in South America, parts of Asia. But in the nice conservative church, with everything nice and neat and pretty, in America and Canada and Australia and Europe, oh no, you hardly hear nothing about the devil anymore. You turn on Christian TV and the radio, how to have success, how to get out of debt, how to get healed, how to get direction in life, how to get a word from the Lord. You don't hear anything about the devil. Oh no, no, no. We've got to stomp on the devil. Jesus said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Paul said, take up the shield of faith because with it you will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. Look at the next one. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get a new prayer language. Australianese. You'll talk like me instead of talking like him. That pastor of yours, he's got a weird accent. I'm sure God's an Australian. I told him at the first service. When you get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, g'day, mate. He's going to say, fire up the Barbie. You're going to see kangaroos on the streets of gold, koala bears on the pearly gates. Those little koala bears, all they do is eat eucalyptus leaves. That's all they do. And if you hold them, they pee on you. Amen. Amen. Don't ever hold one. You'll regret it. Amen. Now, why do we speak in tongues? The Bible tells us the one who speaks in other tongues does not speak to people but to God. And the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us the Holy Spirit prays through us with words that we cannot express, praying in the perfect will of God. When you pray in tongues, you are praying in God's perfect will. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you get nine gifts: wisdom, knowledge, discernment, faith, healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Jesus said, if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. The Holy Spirit has a lot of power to replace Jesus Christ on earth. And he wants to not only live in you, he wants to saturate you and immerse you and baptize you with power. Amen? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Guess what? I told them earlier, the folks I prayed for after the service, every gospel blessing this side of heaven will only come to you by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Jesus said to numerous people, your faith has healed you. Your believing has healed you. How do you get prospered? You believe God's going to prosper you and help you in your job, in your finances, as you walk with Him. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Paul told us in the book of Galatians, you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit by faith, by believing. If you don't believe, you're not going to get anything. There you go. Now look at the next sign, verse 18. These signs, these miracles will follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. The Bible says God will protect you, preserve you from all evil. The Bible says no evil will come near you and no sickness near your dwelling. When the devil comes down my street, he tiptoes past my house. I've laid hands on the front door of my house. You want to do it today? You get Psalm 91. No evil will come near us. No sickness near this home. That's the home where you live. And that's your body where the Holy Spirit lives. It worked for the children of Israel. God said, Moses, get the blood, put it on the doorposts all around it. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house and no sickness will come near that dwelling. We don't have the blood of lambs. We got the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Give Him a victory shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have a better covenant with better promises and a better mediator, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you had to go through a priest, you had to do this, had to take an offering, had to do this. We go to Jesus anytime, any place, anyhow, and get a miracle. Give me a big amen. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake in Malta, shook it off in the fire. Elisha, they were the prophets were eating some food and they were dying. He got some meal, threw it in the poisonous food, and the food was healed. God will protect you. Amen. Amen. Oh, lay hands on the sick. Here's the next one, verse 18. Look, you lay hands on the sick will recover. And the early church did all of this and more. We need to get back to it today. Let me say something to you. I didn't say it to the first people in the first service. You'll never be content as a Christian until you step into the miraculous. Why? Because that's where God lives. You can watch Christian TV, put bumper stickers on your car, wear Christian jewelry, read Christian books, go to every church service. But unless you personally step into the miraculous, not just to believe for yourself. See, what did Jesus say? It's better to give. You start giving out miracles and faith to people, you watch what happens in your own life. Amen. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, has the Lord spoken to you today? One person. All the rest of you are asleep. Two people. Oh, we're in church. Hallelujah. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Before he went into heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Look at verse 20. And the disciples went and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with miracles following. If there's one word Christians don't like, it's work. I didn't get a big amen on that one. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't have to work out pastor's salvation. His wife will do that. You tell her I said that later. Hey, if you've got faith, you've got to prove it. You know what Paul said? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Prove yourself. Before you go digging around criticizing somebody else, get your own act together. Amen. Amen. And they went everywhere, preached the gospel. The further a city, Jesus said, you go into the uttermost part of the earth. The further a city, and I preach there, from Israel, from Jerusalem, is a town called Invercargill. You got two major islands with New Zealand. It's a little bit further south than Australia. And I preach there. You stand on the beach at Invercargill. Next stop is the South Pole. You get the winds blow up there, man. It's cold. Cold down there. But I preached there, so I fulfilled scripture. I went to the other. I just thought I'd throw this in as a bit of useless information for you. Okay? Amen. Listen, it's time to get going. You've been sitting around, reading all, hearing all, preach, and you're not doing it. You've got to do what Jesus said to do. He came to set the captives free, to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? And you've got to share what God has done for you. And it's not hard. You'll be amazed how God backs you up. And I like what it says here. God confirmed his word with signs following. Listen to what the prophet of old said. God said it to the prophet of old. I am the Lord who confirms the word of his servant. God said that in the old scripture, in the book of Isaiah. Preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And this nation and the nations of the world are crying out to see the miraculous. The impossible become possible. I'm going to give you an invitation this morning. You might be a member of this church. You might be a member of another church. You might be visiting. You might be a member of this church or another church and you're backslidden. Well, this morning you're going to front slide real quick and come back to Jesus. And here's the invitation of everybody here, front row to back row. If you want to serve the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all the days of your life, and you want to follow Jesus with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, stand to your feet real quick now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Well, listen, Pastor, look around. Everyone stood. Listen, Pastor's proud. I'm proud. But guess what? Jesus saw you stand. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Lift your hands up high. Come on. In the cowboy movies, they say, stick them up. You know what it means? Surrender. That's what it means. Pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've heard a lot and I've seen a lot, but now it's my time. Forgive me, Lord, for my laziness, my indifference, my pathetic questions, my wavering. Lord, put a new faith in my heart. I reject fear, doubt, and unbelief. I will not tolerate that rubbish in my life any longer. It is written, the former things have come to pass, and behold, you will do new things. And Lord God, you said, if I call on you, you will show me great and mighty things that I do not know. And Lord, fill me with a love and a compassion and a boldness and a joy and a faith that I've never had before. And my prayer is that everyone who knows me will see and hear a change in my life. I'll never be the same, Lord. This is a turning point in my life today. I believe in miracles because I believe in Jesus Christ. And Lord, you're going to get all the glory and all the praise every step of the way because you will not share your glory with any man. I love you, Lord, and I'm proud to stand in this church and lift up holy hands and confess you as my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer, my provider, my financier, my wonderful counselor, and my very best friend. I love you, Lord. Give him a great victory shout. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Now listen, we're going to do a few things today. We didn't have a lot of time at the first service, but here's the ground rules. I do not want anybody to leave the service until Pastor dismisses the service. We've got a real bad habit in Western nations. Well, I don't need anything. I'm going, unless it's an emergency or something. Listen, you don't leave a movie theater 30 minutes before the movie ends. You don't leave work, get up and leave 30 minutes before it ends. And people, you might know some of them have great needs. There might be people who have life or death situations today in this building. And you should stay in the house of the Lord. And it's disrespectful to leave the house of the Lord early. That's the church. Because Jesus is the host. He's the host. Not pastor, not me, not you. He's the host of this meeting. And we're going to be praying for people today for healing and deliverance. We're going to be praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to do. Where are my musicians? Thank you, musicians. Quick. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. First thing we're going to do, we're going to pray those who are physically and or emotionally sick. If you need healing in your flesh, your blood, your bones, your internal organs, might be emotional. If you're on medication, well, today you're going to get medicated with the gospel. And the gospel gets rid of all the ills, the bills, and the pills. I told them in the first service, there's one lady on the website down in Oregon, $700 a month on medications. And listen, you know, you go to the poorer countries, and they don't have all that stuff. They don't even have Tylenol. They have nothing. And they get great miracles because they have a simple faith, right? And nothing wrong with going to a doctor, taking medicine, or having surgery. But those things can't heal. See, Jesus is the healer. Doctors treat people. Jesus heals people, okay? And when you put your health in God's hands, he'll make you healthy. He could do in a split second what a doctor and a medication and surgery cannot do. And when he heals you, he gets all the glory and praise. Amen? So we want to pray for those who are sick. It might be your hearing, your sight. I've had several blind people healed and deaf people over the years, whatever. Nothing too hard for God. That's what the Bible says. God says, is there anything too hard for me in the book of Jeremiah? And I always say, nope, nope, nothing too hard for you. So people in this building, we're then going to be praying for people who want to stand in for people who are not here. The Roman centurion said, Jesus, my servant is at home, tormented. The woman said, my daughter is at home, tormented by evil spirits. And Jesus said, you've got great faith. And they both went home and their miracles are waiting for them. Okay? God could send power out of this church anywhere in the world. I had a lady years ago, I think it was Oklahoma. Her sister was in Florida filled with cancer. We prayed over a handkerchief. She FedExed it on the Monday. Her sister put it on her body. By the end of the week, not a trace of cancer. Numerous people. I could prove to you from the Bible, God could send power through wood, through cloth, through fire, through water, through animals. And guess what? He could send power through you. And God could send power. Why? Because the Bible says he upholds everything by the word of his power. He can send power through anything. He's not limited by anything. So first of all this morning, if you're sick in your body or you have a disability or you're on medication or you're scheduled for surgery and you want Jesus to heal it, or you've had surgery and you want Jesus to heal it, come and quickly stand here now. Come on, quickly. If you're on a medication, you come. Just one line across the front here. If you've got an ache or a pain in your body, you come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're not walking to a man. Good girl. Quick, I need some men to come and help me. Some of your men in the church. Nobody's standing behind anybody, thanks. No, just spread out right across there. Go. This is why we need healing. And this is why Jesus is the healer. Look at this, all you precious people. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Just talk to Jesus. And I want you to make a promise that you'll give Jesus all the glory and all the praise.